Praise God. Happy Mother's Day, mothers. Bless you all. Whew. I am right now being overcome by a prophecy that I gave September 20th, 2015. I just got a copy of it from a precious sister who had written it down from the CD. I don't know what to do about it right now, but it's going to become public. I'm going to make it known. I don't know. What do you think? I should share it today? Somebody said yes? Well, okay. I have a short word. I'm going to reduce this word. It's Mother's Day, and God wants to honor mothers, so I'm not going to omit that part. I will be faithful to convey something that God wants mothers to hear, actually fathers, and actually all of us. So if you would, please turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 20, which is going to be projected up above me. Hannah was the second wife of a man who had his first wife very fertile. She was having children, and Hannah was barren, and she cried out to the Lord. In her bitterness, she cried out to him. And she was at the tabernacle at one time, and Eli, the priest, heard her. While he didn't actually hear her, what he saw was her moving her lips, you know, like, and he thought, oh, this woman must be drunk, but actually she was praying quietly. And she was praying to the Lord and telling the Lord in her bitterness that she wanted a child because she was barren. So this is a word for women here who have not yet conceived but will. If you stay faithful, if you continue to hold fast to God, he will hear you. And after a time of worshiping God, Hannah and her husband went home, and they conceived. And it says here in verse 20, so it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. Or literally, his name is Heard of God. Heard of God. He was, God heard, and the answer was Samuel, because God heard, his name was Heard of God. And the word for you women, you mothers who are mothers now, I don't care how old your children are, they're still your children. They might be in their 50s, even 60s, it doesn't matter, they're your children. There's something about a mother's prayers. There's something about a mother's prayers that are a little different than a father's prayers. Not that fathers don't pray, we pray, but normally fathers do a lot of blessing their children, mothers do a lot of praying for their children. If I could divide it that way, I would say mothers are wonderful at interceding. And I know my own precious wife, Andrea, has interceded for her sons, and there were times when one of them in particular was in a really bad place. And Andre hung on to God for 9 years. We know the exact timing, don't we, honey? 9 years. And drew him out of darkness. It's not you, Luke.
I know. Still there?
I don't want you guys going around like, ooh, bad boy. Anyway, my other son will be here in November. You can poke your fingers at him then, you know. But no, God heard Andrea more than me. I don't think I prayed as much as Andrea. Andrea had the altar, the horns of the altar. She was hanging on to them and never let go. And a man of God was raised up because of that. Here's what happens. Now, I want to make this clear to you women. The most important thing you could do for your children is not pray that they get out of scrapes and bad difficulties or stop their bad behavior. While that's okay, let me tell you what it's really important to pray about. Pray that they hear God. Because you already know that the kids don't always pay attention to you. Right? I mean, that's part of their DNA. to ignore parents. We don't know anything. But they cannot ignore the voice of God, because that stimulates their faith. When God begins to speak to us, and we know this as adults, there's something happens to us. It's like the hound of heaven has put his claws into us, and we cannot shake it. And he is not going to be denied. And he holds to us because the prayers of the mother have activated the Father in heaven. Do not pray that they get out of situations, because if they got out of situations because of your prayer but didn't hear God, all you've done is change the circumstance, but not them. When you pray for your children, even today, pray, God, speak to them that they hear you. Open their ears. Give them hearing hearts. And when that happens, whoo-wee. So anyway, getting back to Samuel, heard of God. Hannah said, if you give me a son, she asked specifically for a son. If you give me a son, I will devote him to the Lord. And shortly after he was weaned, she brought him to Eli, the priest, so that he could be trained up in the things of God. And when he was still a young kid, perhaps the age of Caleb here, maybe younger, I don't know, at one time in the night, he heard somebody calling his name, Samuel. And he got up out of bed and he ran to Eli because he thought Eli, the priest, was speaking to him. And Eli said, you just woke me up. I wasn't calling you. Go back to bed. It happened a second time. So he ran to the priest again and said, Eli said, I know what's happening. God is talking to you. So when you hear him call your name, say to him, here I am, Lord. And that's a submission. And not only here I am, Lord, but speak, for your servant hears. Servants can't do anything till they hear from God, their master. And we're all in that condition. If we do anything without hearing from God, we're out of order. The leadership, the leading of the Holy Spirit is all we need to live righteously. When you're led of the Spirit of God, you're proving that you are sons of God. So Samuel was trained in what his mother had prayed about and named him. She named him Heard of God, that he was an answer to prayer and that he was going to know what it is to hear from God in his prayers. And Samuel grew and he became wise, and he was one of the judges of Israel, because at that time there were no kings in Israel, just judges, and people would come to the judges for advice and counsel and direction. And he was one of the judges until a time came when the people looked around at all the nations about them and they said, look at us. We're the only guys without a king. We need a king. We don't have a king. We want a king. So they picked this guy named Saul, who was a disaster. He was handsome. He was tall. He had all the shape, you know what I mean, of a great leader, but he was not any good. And by this time, Samuel had become a prophet. He was the first prophet of the Old Testament. He was the first of the prophets to be identified as a prophet. And Saul did so much bad that he was going to have to be replaced. And God did reject Saul in time. And then the Lord spoke to Samuel and he said, I'm going to replace Saul. I'm paraphrasing this. And he said, I want you to go to the house of Jesse. He's got some sons. And you go there. So he went to the house of Jesse, and he said to Jesse, Jesse, get your sons out here. I want to take a look at them. And each one of them passed by the prophet Samuel. And every time one of them passed by, the Lord spoke to Samuel and said, no, not him. The next one, no, not him either. So Samuel was hearing. This was very important. And all seven of them passed by, and God said, no, not them. No, 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 not him. And then Samuel said, wait a minute, don't you have another son? Oh, he's just David. He's out tending the sheep. Samuel says, go get him. So when he brought David to Samuel, Samuel said, this is the anointed of God. And he took a horn of oil, poured it on his head, and anointed him. You're going to be the first real king. Real king of Israel. And if Samuel didn't hear God and did not appoint David, then the line from David to Jesus would have been broken. How important it is to hear God. Jesus is of the lineage of David, and Samuel heard God. This is the one. Moms, your kids are going to hear a lot of stuff today. They're hearing all kinds of things, wicked things, evil things. All these things are cloaked in flowery language, kid-type language, acceptable, funny, cartoons, videos, in schools, with friends, TikTok, you name it. It's coming from every imaginable source because the enemy wants to get to the minds of the kids. Because if he can get to the minds, he can rule the nation. That's the truth. It's a very profound truth. The reality of where we are today is the accumulation of all the wicked thoughts that have been promulgated upon this nation and the way the people now think, where everything is turned upside down. Good is evil and evil is good. Can't summarize it any other way. This nation has lost its mind. And that's why I shared again last week, we have to come back to an understanding. Like Nebuchadnezzar said, my understanding has returned to me. We need the nation's understanding to return. It's going to happen with a generation of young people that are going to be part of that. Because young people relate to other young people. We cannot speak into that group very well. We're old farts in their minds. We have nothing to say to them. We don't know what's really happening. We're too old to understand, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Am I telling you the truth? But young people will speak to young people. And we are responsible to train up our children and keep them in the will of God. And the only way we're going to do it is to pray that God continually speak to them and that they hear God. They must hear God for themselves and be convicted in their souls so that they change. If you can do anything, if you love your children with all your heart, your mind, your soul, you start praying for them. God, speak to them and open their ears. One of Israel's greatest problems is they had ears without hearing. That's what Isaiah said. They had eyes they couldn't see and ears that they didn't hear. And because they had neither eyes to see nor ears to hear, I could not heal them. But we can be healed, all of us. And our youth can be healed. And our youth can be at any age. My kids are still my kids. Isn't that right, Luke? And our door is open to them. And your door should be open to them all the time, forever and ever. When they leave the house, they don't really leave the house. They come back in many different ways. Thank God for that. Moms, you have a special call upon your life. Will you make a pact with God, a vow that you will begin to pray for your children that they will hear him? You will do that. Okay. And if you're a mother without children present, or perhaps you have not had children yet, you can still be a mother in the house. And you can pray for all the kids. Isn't that right, Magda? Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Magda's prayed for our boys and our grandchildren like they were hers. That's what it's like to be a mother in the house. We are really one, just one. Praise God. So, Father, we thank you for bringing a word to the women that you love, the mothers that you love. Without mothers, families could not survive. We need real, genuine mothers. We thank God for, I still thank you, God, for my mother who is with you today. And those of us who have seen our parents pass on, we thank you for them. They've impacted us. They've been so wonderful. We praise you, Lord God. Thank you for all their godly prayers. Even when they did not know how to pray appropriately, you heard their hearts, their love, their devotion, their commitment to their families, to their children. But today, you've given us a specific word for moms, that my children will hear you, God. My children will hear you, and they will respond. For you love them, and you will guide them. You will deliver them. You will give them wisdom. You will take them through difficulties. You will keep them from harm. They will make decisions because you speak to them. They will have wisdom. They will have understanding. They will be able to refute the lies of the enemy. They will speak into their generations with the wisdom that you give them from on high. They will move in the power of the Holy Spirit. They will learn how to trust the Holy Spirit within them. They will have understanding of the Word of God and use it effectively because they have heard you, and you will give them all of this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And amen and amen. 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 Okay, now let me shift gears. Wow. I got this. From a precious sister. Would you stand up? Come on. Here's a devoted, loving sister. Ed, stand up. Come on, come on, come on. Look, here's what she did. 2015, you know, she takes notes of teachings, and she would get the CDs, and she would re-listen to one, and she'd copy down the notes. And now today she comes to me with this, and I'm thinking, oh, my God. I want to thank you, love. Huh, can you sit? Yeah, you can sit. So, this spoke to me so many ways. The Lord really impacted me again with this. You know, prophecies are the word of God that comes to us without any preparation. We don't drum them up, think them up, plan them, write them out, review them and see if they're okay. They're spontaneous. They're sovereign. They just flow out of us like rivers, and that's the beauty of it, because no man can take credit for it that way, and they give honor and glory to God. And I was thanking him, and I said, you know what, Lord, you the first gifting that ever showed up in me, although I did teach early on, going back 50 years, but the first gifting that showed up in me was that of a prophet. And my pastor used to call me the bony-fingered prophet, because I would prophesy like this, you know, with my finger out. And prophecy is enriching. Prophecy is stimulating, edifying. Our faith is lifted. We hear God. It's just amazing how he comes and interrupts us. I love that word interruption, which you wrote of. And I'm not drawing my attention to myself. I'm only saying what God has done. And I want to thank God that he did these things. I'm going to read these prophecies to you. And I'm going to stir up this gift in my own life again. The enemy has been trying to shut us all down. Ben knows that very clearly. He has been sharing in Ben's prayer meetings about certain spirits that want to restrict the church, limit its abilities, its powers, its graces. But we're casting them off, and we're moving in the power of God. This word was delivered September 20th, 2015. I am going to interrupt this earth. I am preparing to interrupt this nation. I am going to interrupt the culture of this nation. I am going to interrupt society. I'm going to interrupt the church. And I'm going to interrupt you. My presence is going to be the interrupting force. I'm going to interrupt Sunday meetings in the world and in this nation. I'm going to interrupt the activities of men in this nation. I'm going to interrupt businesses and politics and education and finances and entertainment and families. I'm going to interrupt the church. I plan to interrupt all of these areas, and I'm going to do it with my presence as I have done in times past, in revival of the past. I say this to you because I know in your own hearts you cannot imagine how revival will take place and in what it will do. But when my spirit comes, the worst, the most wicked, the most evil, the most corrupt, the most contaminated, the most sinful, the most mean, those who are against me, who violate all of my inward laws written upon their hearts, who reject me, who reject Christians, who seek to persecute you, murder you, even those, the worst ones, not only in this nation, but throughout the world, them I will interrupt with my presence. My presence will be so strong that their thoughts, their preconceived ideas, their plans will hold no power against my presence, and I will reveal myself to them, and you will see amazing changes throughout the earth. In times past, when I have come in revivals, I have interrupted society. I have cleansed out bars, taverns, whorehouses. I have changed education, how things worked in factories. I have affected people's whole moral state. I have done away with crime as my presence has come upon people. You will see this again. It's going to happen because you have been beseeching me for it to happen. You cannot even imagine yet what I will do, and you will know it is me, and not by the plan or the activity of any human being. When I come, it will be sovereignly, powerfully, spontaneously, suddenly, and amazingly, and you will see my power and glory. That's the first prophecy. You need to let that sink in. That same day, I had two other prophetic words. This is the second one. There will be hot spots all over the nation. When I come to interrupt, I will not do it across the board, but I will do it in hot spots. These will be specific locations where I will pour my spirit out in supernatural measure, and they will become known as hot spots where revival will break out and culture will change. I will then interrupt, and you will begin to see how I affect society, how I affect individuals, how I affect this nation. I will change the government. It will become righteous again. You will see my glory move. One of the hot spots is going to be Washington, D.C. You will see hot spots all over. This is where revival will break out. And in these hot spots, I will use them to draw people from surrounding areas to those hot places. They will catch the fire and bring it back, and I will move throughout this nation. Prophecy number three. Wait a minute. Yeah. Third prophecy. This can only happen because I have asked you many times to draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. I am calling you individually and corporately to seek me with all your hearts beyond anything that you have ever done before. For my word has declared to you before, if you will draw near to me, I will draw near to you. This is the time of my, I got a little trouble reading that. My nearness, Yeah, time of my, this is a time of my nearness, unlike anything you have ever known. While you declare and sing truths about my manifest presence in you, it is nothing compared to my manifest presence around you. When you see my glory come, you will do nothing but stand in awe of my glory and my power, and I will begin to affect things and change things. My word will go forth in power again, and true anointed teaching and preaching will bring truth to the lives of the people that will effectively change them. And I will pour out my spirit upon multitudes of people, and they will begin to move in great power and with signs and wonders. They will be filled with my spirit. They will prophesy. They will speak in tongues. They will do miracles. There will be healings. And one of the signs of this coming outpouring will be the miraculous healings in multitudes. Beyond any type of healing you have ever seen up to this point. For this is, and hear this, is a sick society. The Lord says to us, sick in spirit, sick in sin, sick in body and mind, and I am a healer, and I love those, even these in sin, for I have sent Jesus for them, and I will heal them, and I will restore, and nobody else can do what I am about to do. But I say unto you, this is part of your responsibility. Wow. Draw near to me in this time. Keep seeking me in this time. Pray as you have never prayed, for I have desired that you cooperate with me. I have never moved without people who have prayed to me. And I will move again because you will pray to me. Remember, a divine interruption is coming. Look for it. It will show up because I will show up. Amen. Praise God. Isn't that good? Yes. When I read these, I was saying to you, I can't remember all of these prophecies, because when you prophesy, all of a sudden your thought life is not in control as God begins to speak through you. And sometimes people say, what was that word you gave me? I say, I can't remember it all because it happened so quick and so spontaneously. So when I first read this, I started to weep because it was as though God was speaking to me personally. And I always believed that those who give a word should be also those who receive the word. And I received this word, and I like the word that God said. How many years ago is that? 2015? Almost 8 years. 8 is the number for new beginning. That when his word is delivered, it's timeless, just like our prayers. When you offer up your prayers, God doesn't forget them. He receives them, holds them. There's a timing for them. Sometimes you're not the first benefactor of the prayer. A lot of our prayers are hitting people throughout the world, even in this nation. Do you know that? Our prayers of intercession that God would convict people of sin, that's happening in various places. It's even happening upon us. I mean, when we come together on Wednesday night, the men are very open, and they confess things. I love that meeting. And they say things like, you know, God is really dealing with me on this thing. And I thought it was done, but it hasn't been completely done. And God is going deeper. And, you know, we're talking like this even before we begin to pray, because we realize we are the first people receiving the effect of the prayers. It's powerful. So we're not going to give up. These are little mercy drops right now, but there will be an outpouring. It will come. When the angel of the Lord came to Mary and prophesied to her about the coming of Jesus through her womb, she said, Lord, be it unto me even according to your word. And while this is not scripture, but when God speaks, there's a realm of truth to it. I say, okay, God, be it unto us according to your word. You have been intimating, speaking, from all different directions for decades that there's going to be a great revival. And you are preparing for that great revival by preparing us to draw near to you, to come to you in prayer, to seek you and say, God, have your way with us. Like our sister said, who probably took her kids out right now, Lord, empty me of me. Lord, come and empty us of everything that is out of order, that is not in your will. All behavior, desires, loves, interests, idols, sins, recklessness, perversions, thoughtlessness, indifference, lovelessness, carelessness, all the things that are in us, the pride, the lack of humility, the self-centeredness, the things that contend with your will and are opposed to it, all the stuff that is just simply garbage in us, Lord, come and cleanse us out as we open our lives up to you today. Again, we do not pretend that we are perfect. We do not come before you with the assumption that you think we are perfect. But you are such a great God that you speak right into the very marrow of our bones. You know, every secret thought, every ill-gotten idea, everything we have provided for ourselves and we think we then give you credit for, but we secretly live in our own pride. God, shame on us. Forgive us. Declare to us the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ, living and moving and having his being in us. For that is all there is to us. We are empty without him. We are nothing without Christ. We pray, dear God, that you move upon us even today. Those of us who have been indifferent, aloof, not involved, disconnected, thought it was not important, shame on us, oh God, that we should elevate ourselves above the need to pray and to seek you. Even in times when we feel like, I don't feel like praying, we can ask you, Holy Spirit, to help us to pray when we need to pray. And that is what we need to do, God, to rely upon you in everything. Come and take over your church. Make it over. Make it everything you want it to be. Let Christ be in all and through all, above all. May he be everything we are supposed to be in us, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Ooh, glory to you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We are coming to you, God, in preparation for you to pour yourself out. We draw near to you today. We love you and want to know you more. For you to be our life, we want intimacy with you like we've never had before. We want to know you. We want to follow you. We want to do your will. We want to make you happy. We want to enter into the joy of our salvation. We want to hear oftentimes, well done, good and faithful child. We want to know that you are happy with us. We do not want to be detached from you in any way. We do not want to be religious. This is not an act of religion that we are doing today. This is a profound interactive moment with you. Come, Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, fill your house today, every one of us, like never before, and throughout this week and coming weeks. And we say, come on, God. Everything you've said, come on. Come on. Everything you have declared prophetically to us, do it. I believe it. You want to save this nation through your presence, through the church. We are the light of the world yet. Just as Jesus was when he came, we are still that light. That we can shine darkness on men. Shine light into the darkness of men, God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord God. I thank you, God, for today. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Come interrupt us, Lord God. Yes. Let me get that. Go ahead.
Last week I was reflecting on what our sister Carrie Baldelli had prophesied to us a few weeks ago, and I had torn it out of the bulletin a few weeks ago, and this is what she prophesied. There is an exclamation point over this ministry, and I am forcefully uttering from heaven that you are of great significance to me, and I have great interest in you and my plans for this house. And as I was reflecting on that, and Pastor last week had brought up a the spirit of Gideon and the spirit of Gideon's army. And I was thinking about, well, what's the spirit of Gideon's army? And I remember years ago we were praying, and again in our circle on a Wednesday night, the word seriousness. Remember that word, seriousness? And it's an attitude. And I was like, well, that's Gideon's army. They had this attitude that was serious. And it had nothing to do with their size, their numbers. It was about their attitude, where they had this attitude towards God. They were committed. And when you were speaking this morning about, here I am, Lord, those were my very thoughts last week. It's, yes, here I am, Lord. We have that spirit of Gideon, his army, saying, here I am, we're ready, we're committed, we're serious. There's nothing short about that. And then the Lord reminded me, he's like, well, what if Abraham did not say, here I am, Lord? What if Jacob, before he was ready to slay his son, didn't say, here I am, Lord? Or even Moses at the burning bush say, here I am, Lord. And fast forward to the New Testament, and if Saul on his road, on his way to Damascus, didn't, and Ananias didn't say, here I am, Lord. So let that be a new declaration for us, because that's what changed history, is when our fathers said, here, here I am. And so I want to encourage you to do that, to say, here I am, Lord, in all seriousness, in all readiness, and to, and the exclamation point, here's an example of it. These prayers are part of that exclamation point that Carrie that Carrie had prophesied to us. There's an exclamation point on this ministry of prayer. And take it seriously.
Amen.
And say, here I am, Lord.
Amen. Yes. Let's stand together as one people, one body. All of us, please. And in your own physical expression, you could stretch your hands out to the Lord if you like, or up or not, but let us say this together. Here I am, Lord. Here we are, Lord. Use us according to your will. Speak, for your servant hears. Amen. Amen. Here we are, Lord. Amen. Unless God has something else to say, happy Mother's Day to you. Women, enjoy your time. Be blessed. We look forward to seeing you again next week.